Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Come.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up from routine to difficult. They're always looking for more technicians, too. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. Time now to bring in one of the greats, the Hall of Famer, Ray Dittinger. Ray, happy holidays to you and yours. Thanks so much for your time today.
Happy to be with you, Steve. Best wishes to you, too.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. So they're going to do a 30 for 30 on Reggie White. I will assume that you play a prominent role in it.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. All right. He's interesting because he is one of those guys. He comes out of Tennessee, and he goes to the USFL, then eventually to Philadelphia. What was the part of the story that you wanted to tell about him and the angle they wanted to take with you about him?
Well, the show is produced by it's a joint effort of the ESPN and NFL Films, and it's built a lot of it is built around an interview I did with Reg back when I was still working at NFL Films, and this was like 2 years after he had actually retired, and it sort of starts off with an outtake from the interview that I did with Reggie at his home. He was living down in the Carolinas then. Where he was talking about that point in his life where he was kind of reassessing his role in religion, or more specifically, religion's role in his life, and asking a lot of questions about his religion and his commitment to the religion and what he really understood about the faith, and did he really understood the gospel that he was preaching? And it was a period of really deep self introspection on Reggie's part. And it wasn't at all the interview that I expected to get when we went down there, but he took us in a whole different direction, talking about what he wanted to do and the things he felt like he still had to learn, lessons he was trying to learn the language. He wanted to learn so that he could read and speak actual Hebrew, and he was taking these lengthy classes with an Israeli scholar. He was really at a very different point in his life, and so that's kind of what this film is about. It's a beautiful look. It's a two-hour film, and it's a beautiful look at Reggie's all the aspects of Reggie. But it really begins with this point in his life, where he's really kind of taking a step back and trying to reassess his own role in religion and how he can get to the point where he could be a true living kind of a contemporary apostle, going out and preaching the message the way he wants to preach it.
You know, it's interesting that's what you ended up with, because when I did a sit down with him, it was about 15-20 minutes. And so you go in, and I'm not usually a person that writes down questions because I've got a feel as to where I want to go with it. And when I asked the first question and he went down this road, I had to change mentally everything I wanted to talk to him about, because he did the same thing with me that he wanted to talk about this. So when you sat down to do that, what kind of changes did you have to make in your approach, because that's what he wanted to talk about?
It was different. I mean, we were doing a show. The idea was that we were going to do a show at NFL Films on religion and football. And,
okay.
Because there was a lot of conversation about, you know, the players on the field kneeling and praying before the games and after the games. There was a lot of controversy about whether that was appropriate or not. And so we wanted to do a whole half-hour show about religion and football and how the two can coexist, and the people who think it's a great thing and the people who think it should be gone. And we figured we couldn't very well do a show about religion and football without talking to Reggie, because, I mean, he was really kind of the face of it. So we set up the interview down in this home in outside of Charlotte, and we started. And it was kind of like what you just said, Steve. I mean, you know, I asked the first couple questions, and Reggie just took me down this whole other path where he was talking about, you know, I've reached a point now where, you know, I'm really looking at, I'm taking a hard look at the religion and all the things that I've been saying and all the preaching, quote unquote, that I've been doing in churches all these years. I've come to the conclusion that, you know, I've just been repeating what other people have said and you know, things that I have read, and, you know, I need to kind of find my own place in religion and find out what's real, and so that I can go out and deliver this message with my whole heart and soul. And it was really eye opening, and he just talked. Geez, we talked for about 4 hours that day. I mean, we used up every bit of film that we brought with us,
yeah.
And Reggie was just warming up. But that's where he was at that point. And the real tragedy of it is that 2 months later he was gone.
Right.
I mean, we did the interview in October, and Reggie passed away in December.
Yeah. Did you address, and I'm going to guess in 4 hours it came up, that line between I'm going to level a quarterback, oh, and by the way, I'm going to hug him later.
Oh, sure.
And how did he address that with you?
Oh, now that was one thing that we had dealt with right from the beginning. I mean, right from the time he came to Philadelphia. Because he was the ordained minister, and he was literally preaching in churches, and he was an assistant pastor at a church. So, I mean, this wasn't just something that he talked about, maybe down the road I'll get into religion. No, he was into it really deep. And so we obviously had to ask the questions, how do you reconcile being a man of faith and, you know, a man who preaches the gospel, and a guy who goes out and wreaks havoc on Sundays, you know? And he said it wasn't that hard at all. His feeling was that if I go out and I play the game fairly and I play the game clean, and I'm not out there trying to hurt anybody, that's okay. You know, and the game is the game, and, you know, will people get hurt? Yeah, probably. But if I'm just out there playing by the rules, which he always did, I mean, Reggie was never a dirty player. No one ever accused him of being that. Then he thought that was okay. And he also saw the trade-off here was that if he was really a good player, which clearly he was,
yeah,
his visibility would give him a greater platform to preach the message that he really wanted to preach, which was about faith and about the Lord and, you know, living your life the right way and all that stuff. The better he was as a player, the more all-pro teams he made, the more Defensive Player of the Year awards he got, the more big fourth-quarter sacks that he got, you know, the more people would want to come and talk to him, and he would be able to get that message out there. So he kind of thought the two went hand in hand.
He started out professionally with the Memphis Showboats in the USFL, and then he went
right
to Philadelphia after that. What did, you know, in any of the conversations you had, and, you know, you had many with him over the years, what did the Memphis experience mean to him, and did he come to the league maybe a slightly better product because of it?
He didn't talk a whole lot about the USFL. I mean, other than the fact that it gave him a start, and he was always very he always spoke well of the USFL, and he always was very, he would get very irritated if people would sort of in their questioning suggest that the USFL was a minor league or that it wasn't very good,
right?
Or that it was, you know, very inferior to the NFL. Obviously, no one was saying it was the NFL. Nobody would say that. But there was the idea that it was sort of a Mickey Mouse operation.
Mm-hmm.
And Reggie took umbrage at that. You know, Reggie said, that's not true. I mean, we played good football there. And look at how many players from the USFL came over to the NFL and were big-time players, which was true. I mean, a lot of the USFL guys came over and really played well in the National Football League. You know, Reggie, I guess, was the best, but there were a lot of other guys that did. So Reggie talked a lot about that, about those years, how much he enjoyed. He felt that he grew up over there. He thought that he matured a lot from his time at Tennessee during a couple of years when he played in the USFL and honed his skills. But, I mean, by the time he came to Philadelphia, I mean, there were some questions when he got here about just how good he was, because he was dominating in the USFL, but it was sort of like, okay, well, that's the USFL. Yeah. Can he be that same kind of player in the NFL? And it didn't take very long. I mean, his very first game with the Eagles, coming in on midweek, I mean, he played that Sunday, and he had 2.5 sacks and tipped a pass that was intercepted and returned for a touchdown. In a game against the Giants. That was his first game with like 3 days of practice. And that's when everybody said, well, I guess everything we heard about him is true.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because it's interesting. If you ever talk to anybody who played in the AFL or the ABA or even the WHA, there's almost like a kinship that they have. Joe Namath will tell you nothing but great things about the AFL.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about it, the fact that they all went through it, that I think is something that bonds people.
I think you're 100% right, and the AFL is a really good example of that. And you mentioned the perfect guy, and that was Namath. Namath told me a great story that when the Jets won Super Bowl III, when they beat the Colts in that ridiculous upset that no one saw coming. You know, the Jets are 19-point underdogs to the Colts, and they beat them down in the Orange Bowl in the big upset that Joe Namath guaranteed. Namath told me that when the Jets team bus got back to their hotel in Fort Lauderdale, they were staying at the Gold Ocean Mile in Fort Lauderdale, when the Jets team buses got back to the hotel, there were like 20 Kansas City Chiefs waiting for them to congratulate them and hug them and say how much they were all at the game and how much that meant to them to see the Jets win that game, because they obviously won it for the Jets, they won it for New York, but to these guys, they had gone out and they had won it for the AFL. So when the Jets got back to the hotel, the Chiefs were waiting for them and they all celebrated together.
Reggie ends up being the guy that goes free agent, and I feel like he changed the trajectory of free agency because he A, got the money, and B, went to the smallest market in the league, and made the smallest market in the league seem like the biggest place to go. What did that move mean for the players and also for the league that he did it?
It meant everything. I mean, it was... I mean, you look back on that, and I mean, it was an immense thing when they brought the suit. They brought the suit to against the league to earn free agency.
Yep.
Reggie was the guy whose name was on it. Reggie is the guy whose face was on it. And I mean, you had to be a pretty brave guy to go out to be the guy out front of that movement, taking on the National Football League. Yeah. But Reggie believed what Reggie believed. I mean, Reggie was a guy who lived his life by a certain standard. And in some ways, he got him in trouble. I mean, there were some things in society that he just couldn't understand, that he didn't approve of, and he was not afraid at speaking out about them. He was a man of his convictions. Mm-hmm. And this to him was about more than money. It was about what was right or wrong, and his belief that a man should have freedom to be able to pick and choose where he wants to go, and he shouldn't necessarily be bound to one team and one contract for his entire career. And so Reggie was the guy that was willing to step out front and take on that fight, and of course they won it. And you're right, I think that no one saw that coming, that Reggie, with all the offers that he had, and he had offers from everybody, that he would go to Green Bay, the smallest market, you know, no advertising, no commercials, no other endorsements or anything. But he believed in the people there. He hit it off with Mike Holmgren and the people in Green Bay. He saw that Milwaukee was a city right down the road that had a lot of problems and a really tough inner city situation, and he felt like he could help there. And he just felt like that was the place for him. And it changed everything. It certainly changed the direction of the Green Bay Packers, because all of a sudden, you know, Reggie White is willing to go to Green Bay and play. Geez, other free agents would say, well, you know, maybe I should go there too. And they did. And it wasn't long after Reggie got there that, indeed, the Green Bay Packers went to the Super Bowl and won it.
And he had, well, I think, 2.5 sacks in that Super Bowl against the Patriots. He was outstanding in that game.
Yeah, actually, they credited him with three. And that was the record, the Super Bowl record at the time, and I think it still may be today.
And it may very well may be today. I have to ask you about the current season. There are certainly some really good teams, Eagles, Niners, Cowboys are getting better, but there's a lot of 6-7 and 7-6 teams that are playoff eligible right now. What is your impression of the league that we're watching right now in the NFL?
It pains me to say it. I don't think it's very good, Steve.
I agree.
I just don't think the quality of play is very good. I think there's just a lot of mediocrity out there. I think the officiating is dreadful.
Yes.
And I think on a week in and week out basis, it's I hate to use the term, but I just don't think it's a good product. You know. And I've tried to put my finger on it. Look, it's kind of served the Eagles well, because I don't think this is a great Eagles team by any means.
I agree.
But the fact that there are so many tomato cans out there, that it allowed the Eagles to get out to that 10-1 start. And, you know, as much as they've stumbled the last couple of weeks, I mean, they're a lock for the playoffs. So they're going to get into the postseason and they'll have their shot. But I don't think they're a particularly good team. But, you know, you look around the league and there's just not many of them. And I try to kind of put my finger on it. And I don't know that this is exactly what it is, but this is the way it looks to me. As I think the offensive line play in the NFL is really bad.
I
think, you know, one of the things you look at from when I watch the film, I just watch the offensive line play, and it is really bad. And so you have a lot of really poor offensive lines protecting a lot of young quarterbacks, rookies and second-year quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks, third-string quarterbacks. They're now playing behind bad offensive lines. Well, you're not going to get good football if you have third string quarterbacks playing behind bad offensive lines. It's going to look like what it looks like, and that's kind of where we are right now. Now you look at the teams that are really good, and you mentioned them. You look at the 49ers. I mean, they're playing great, and their offensive line is really good, and Purdy is an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, same thing. Their offensive line is really good,
yeah,
and Dak's having his best season. But that's what sort of set them apart from everybody else. The other teams are just kind of in a big muddle, and I just don't know that there's going to be many surprises in the postseason. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to jump up and beat one of those top teams. To me, the top teams look to me like they're going to go all the way.
That's why the last 2 weeks, to me, the Eagles play. I know the Eagles didn't win either game, but the Eagles play the 49ers. To me, that was must-watch TV. Eagles play Dallas. That was must-watch TV.
Oh,
there's
sure.
There's no other game I'm out there watching saying it's must-watch. I'm just kind of watching to watch.
Yeah, it's really true. It's really true. I mean, that recent Thursday night game with Pittsburgh and New England was just, I mean, it was terrible.
Oh.
It was terrible. I mean, if that had been an XFL game, people would have been laughing at it, saying, "Oh, come on, you're kidding me. You're going to tell me this is professional football?" That's what it looked like. That's how bad it was. But again, I think if you look at that game, I mean, it was wrong. It was bad for a million different reasons.
Yes.
But it really started with bad offensive line play and bad quarterbacking. And the thing is, that's just not an isolated case. I mean, that's all over the league right now, and it's dragging down the whole level of play. And then compounding it all is the officiating, which I think this year has been worse than it's ever been.
Yeah, agree on all fronts. Ray, thanks so much for your time. This Reggie White project sounds like it's going to be phenomenal. Really looking forward to it, and I thank you, as always, for your time.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Steve. And, yeah, I tell folks to definitely find that the Reggie Show. It's called The Minister of Defense. It's this installment of 30 for 30. It's on ESPN right now, and you'll be able to find it. And it's really, really good. I mean, the 30 for 30 series is an excellent series.
Yes.
But, and the bar is set pretty high. But believe me, this moves it up a few more notches.
Yeah, it sounds like it's one of those that takes a great series, which it is, and advances it. So that's phenomenal.
Yep.
Right, thank you.
All right, Steve, always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
You too.
Bye-bye.
The great Hall of Famer, Ray Dittinger. Reggie White, 30 for 30. They were going to do one on the suit. It was called Five for Five. All right, we'll come back for more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, final half hour coming up. I want to expand on what Ray talked about at the end, and that is the mediocrity of the league, the NFL. You're seeing it all over the place. I just ran down in the previous half hour all the teams that were 7-6 down to the Arizona Cardinals that had playoff chances. And just the whole thing, you sit there. He's right. The Thursday night game between the Patriots and the Steelers set the NFL back 40 years. It was like watching the train scene, The Fugitive, where the bus gets hit. You couldn't turn away. The bus still got hit. And Harrison Ford jumped and got out. But still, this is bad football.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How are you doing today? Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. So let's get to what Ray was talking about. This is not foreign territory here, because we have talked about this before. That the NFL, and look, I enjoy watching NFL football. But this season, for whatever reason, is something that's off about it. Now, San Francisco, terrific. The Eagles, really good. Dallas, really good. I find Miami to be a fun team to watch. Although Miami right now is not the number one seed. Oh, Baltimore. Baltimore I like to watch. That's five teams. Now, Kansas City I always enjoy watching because Mahomes is so fun to watch. But even his offensive line is like, yee. And his receivers are, yoo. Right? But those are six teams. Six teams that, to me, are must-see teams. That means 26 aren't. Now, I watched the Giants-Packers game the other night. And in some ways, I mean, it was a fun game. I mean, Barkley, the Giants, the Packers are a young team getting better. Okay. But it is... He's right. Ray's correct on all counts. Number one, the offensive lines are not very good. And it's compounded by the fact that you have so many backup quarterbacks. I mean, Tommy DeVito isn't even the second string quarterback for the Giants. He's the third string quarterback. Daniel Jones, Tyrod Taylor, then it's Tommy DeVito. What does it tell you? They're down to number three now. I mean, he's the third string guy. Tonight, Vegas will play against the Chargers. Well, there'll be no Justin Herbert tonight. He's out for the year. Okay. And that's going to be another one that's like, ew, boy. That's why, like, people ask me about, oh, what do I want to watch bowl games for? Because, you know, they're meaningless exhibitions and so forth. And I say all the time, you don't want to watch. Nobody's compelling you to watch. You can watch whatever you want. You want to watch Survivor? Watch Survivor. You want to watch Golden Bachelor? Watch it. That's a show, right? Golden Bachelor? I think I've seen that advertised. You want to watch that? Go ahead. Who's stopping you? And so there are a lot of reasons why I enjoy bowl games. This will go in conjunction with the NFL. And if you have really any question, anything you want to chime in, please call. I want to hear what you have to say. Usually it's a bowl game a day, sometimes a couple. You know, when you get close to the weekend more. So I'm sitting there. Let's see what we got here. I do have the chart here. You know, we all know the opening day has a whole bunch. There's, you know, Myrtle Beach Bowl, the Celebration Bowl. That's the one in Atlanta. HB. U Colleges. New Orleans Bowl. Cure Bowl, New Mexico Bowl, L.A. Bowl, and the Independence Bowl. Okay. But then we're going to get, after that Saturday, we're going to get to Monday. And a Monday afternoon at 2:30, it's going to be the heck is that bowl? In Charlotte, the famous Toastery Bowl, whatever. It's Western Kentucky Old Dominion. Okay. Well, guess what? There's a good chance that's a competitive game. Now, is it going to be the greatest, most glorious, high-level game played? No. Yeah, the Ole Miss and Penn State's a high-level play game with, you know, a lot of pro prospects in it. But just because there aren't a lot of pro prospects in it, I mean, I'm watching Montana the other night play. Who did they play? They played. Oh, come on. It wasn't James Madison. Somebody hadn't been in for a while. But they're playing this game. And there aren't pro. I mean, there might be a pro prospect somewhere there. Who knows? But it was just a great game. It went overtime. It was a great game. It was a fun game to watch. It's a fun game to watch. Like, you know, and Montana finally won the thing in overtime. It was cold. There was a little bit of swirl of snow in the air, and the whole thing kind of brought, you know, I'm sitting there, and was it a Saturday night, maybe? I think it was after I did the Penn State-Ohio State basketball game, and I'm watching this game. I stayed up and watched it to the end because it was fun to watch. Then I'm watching NFL games. Now, the Cowboys game with the Eagles I was really looking forward to, and I thought the Buffalo-Kansas City game was fun to watch. But there weren't a lot of fun games to watch. The Ravens and the Rams was pretty good. But that game's at 2:30 on Monday. When the show's over on Monday, I'm probably going to watch it. Why? Well, for one thing, football practice for Penn State is in the morning that day. So there's nothing in the afternoon. I'll have some time. I'm just going to sit down and watch. The next day, 9 o'clock at night, Charles Huff and his Marshall team will take on Texas San Antonio in the Frisco Bowl. I'll probably watch it. Why? Because I think it could be a fun game to watch. Okay? I don't know why there's not a bowl game on Wednesday the 20th. Oh, you know why? Because that's a letter of intent day. They didn't want people to have a game letter of intent day. So the 21st, now I'll be able to watch the second half, but like South Florida's playing Syracuse. At 8 o'clock at night. Yeah, Penn State's got a game with Lemoyne at 7. It'll be over off the air at 9:30. So I'll be able to watch the second half. Will I watch it? Yeah, I'll watch it. Because I think it'll be a fun game. Then Georgia Tech plays UCF on the 22nd at 6:30. I'll probably watch some of that. Why? Because I think it's going to be a fun, competitive game. And I can go through all these games where a lot of times these bowl games are fun, competitive games. What's the NFL providing us? The Niners are high level. The Eagles are high level. The Cowboys are becoming high level. The Ravens are playing high level. The Dolphins, for the most part, playing high level. Tyreek Hill is a show unto himself. But Ray's right. The offensive lines are not good. And because they've had to go down the ladder on quarterbacks, the quarterback play isn't good. The quarterback play isn't good because, A, they're not the starting quarterback in many cases, and, B, they're now playing behind mediocre offensive lines, which makes it worse. And everything is simplistic because they're trying to get these quarterbacks through these games. And, I mean, the Steelers-Patriots game was just... I mean, subpar might not even be a proper word. It just was. It's like, okay. Tonight, the Chargers and Raiders. Will I watch some of the game tonight? Probably. But am I looking forward to watching it? Not really. But I'll watch it because, I mean, I like watching football. You know, it's a slow week for basketball because of finals. I'm not going to watch the NBA. Don't watch the NBA really until we get maybe to late January, early February. So what's interesting is the NFL is almost, not quite, almost bulletproof. They're the number one sport. Right now they're the number one, they're the number one through pick the number. 1 through 30 whatever a TV show for the year. In other words, this game's number one, this game's 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, it goes down to like, I mean, you look at the top rated television shows of the year. The NFL's all over the lot there. People are watching it. But there aren't a lot of fun teams to watch. Now, Green Bay's a 6-7 team. They're actually a fun team to watch, to me. The Eagles are a fun team to watch. The Niners are a fun team to watch. The Ravens are a fun team to watch. The Dolphins are really a fun team to watch. Just, you know, doesn't mean they're winning every game, but they're fun to watch. And, you know, and the Cowboys in some ways are fun to watch. Although, you know, like the rest of you, I get a little nauseated over the Cowboy love all the time. But, you know, this year, to their credit, they're living up to it and playing pretty well. And Ray's right. I don't see any upsets in the NFL playoffs. I mean, the Giants just beat Green Bay. Okay. Interesting game. Came down to the last couple of minutes. You know, it looks like the Giants are going to put it away. Barkley rips off two big runs. Saquon then does something that Saquon never does. He fumbles. Green Bay takes the ball, goes down and scores. The Giants come right back. They score, win the game. Okay. That was fun. And Green Bay's a fun team to watch. DeVito's interesting. After not throwing the ball at all when he had to play the first time, the Giants are running wildcat and everything like that, actually letting him throw the ball, and he's doing some things with it. But the rest of the league is just so... Ugh. You're talking about 26 out of 32 teams that give you the feeling. At least to me. Maybe not to you, but to me. I mean, Caleb, I know I haven't brought you in yet, but I mean... Are Ray and I far off here, or is it something that you're really into?
No, I don't think you guys are very far off. I do think that the level of play has just sort of flatlined into this average. I think CBS Sports posted something about how there's six teams that are 7-6 in the AFC, and that's the most since 1970. And then in the NFC, there's six teams that are 6-7, and that's also the most since 1970. So they're most of the teams in the NFL, I would say, are just very average at best. And, I mean, four or five of them are going to get into the playoffs regardless.
Right. Well, that's now as of the, now. I don't expect the Eagles to stay in the five seed. I expect the Eagles to still win the NFC East based on schedule. Their schedule, Dallas's schedule, but they're the five seed. Now that's one heck of a five seed right there. Okay, that is one heck of a very good. I didn't say great. The Eagles are not a great team, but they're very good. And that's one heck of a five seed there. As opposed to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are the number six seed in the AFC. That is as mediocre a six seed as you can ask in a professional league. I mean, that's where we are right now in the league. Oof, brutal. But they're still the best show out there for people to watch. And but that's why people say, oh, these bowl games, whatever, it's too many. The bowl games, to me, are at least fun. And for the most part, the bowl games are competitive. They're fun and competitive. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy watching it. Furman, by the way, was the team that Montana beat. I didn't even look it up. It finally came to me. Furman's the team that they beat Montana in the playoff. It was a good game. I mean, I don't know any of the players, but it was a good game to watch. Were there mistakes? Sure. But it was a playoff game. It had some meaning to it. Cold, a little bit of swirl of snow. I mean, it was... To me, it was more fun to watch that. I feel the same way about the bowl games I'm watching. What I think are more fun games to watch. Yeah, I'm not going to sit there and say, okay, you know, like, I mean, there are people I know. Let's see. As mentioned, Marshall UTSA. Well, I know Charles Huff. Okay. Western Kentucky against Old Dominion. I know Ricky Ronnie. Now, do I know any of Ricky's players? No. Do I know any of Charles Huff's players? No. UTSA, I know that Harris is the quarterback. But they could be fun games to watch. And that's what interests me. I think it sounds like it's fun. You know, just to kind of kick back. I'm like, okay, you know, I mean, I'll root for Old Dominion. Come on, because I want Ricky to win. I want Charles to win, you know. That's why I'll watch bowl games. For the most part, I think they're fun and competitive. They don't have to be works of art. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, Ross Tucker coming up tomorrow. Monday, Ryan Snyder on recruiting from On3.com and Wes Durham from the ACC Network and... also, the Falcons Radio Network. A lot to talk about with Wes. Great to have him on. I am trying to get David Callum on the show, who's the Ole Miss play-by-play announcer. Sent him an email yesterday. Hopefully he gets back. I know he's got a game, basketball game tomorrow. And look, I, you know, it's not like I've never been around David before. I have, because Penn State's played Ole Miss in basketball actually a few times. I've done a game down in Oxford. So. Okay, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Your home for news, AccuWeather, and sports. Celebrating 90 years of serving the Susquehanna Valley. We are WKOK Sunbury.